So hello. Hello and welcome to Open Source Sex. This is Violet Blue.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, Nina. Thank you. I'm talking with Nina Hartley, and I'm extremely thrilled to have her on the show. In case you're not familiar with Nina, she's been a porn performer for decades. She's applied her nursing background and her porn knowledge and to pioneering the best and the best-selling series of explicit how-to videos called the Nina's Guide series. Nina has also appeared in hundreds of adult films and major motion pictures, and she lectures at UCs and community teaching institutions. Nina's website is, awesomely enough, nina.com. And recently, Nina, with her partner Ernest Green, who is one of the best porn and SM directors, I think, in the whole world, and also the editor of Hustler's Taboo, broke the rules with Nina's new movie, Nina Hartley's Guide to Erotic Bondage. And if you're watching the video version of this podcast right now, you're watching the stills from this positively gorgeous video right this very second. But before we jump into the fray here and talk with Nina about the film and about her work, let me give a little background on why we never see SM with sex in porn. The state of the law in the United States about sexually explicit material revolves around keeping pornographers and adult retailers on their toes, never knowing for what or when they might be prosecuted for offending community standards. The law in the U.S. states that something is considered obscene and therefore illegal to create or distribute if a court somewhere says it is. You might hear people in and out of the adult industry saying things like, showing urination is illegal, or showing SM with sex is illegal, or portraying Bill O'Reilly as a journalist is illegal, and if it isn't, it should be. And all these cautious statements are incorrect. In fact, there's only a single test, which is when a court in any of the 50 states decides that a particular thing, DVD, picture, book, fake journalist, whatever, is by the standards of the community obscene. So basically, no one making SM porn knows if what they are doing is illegal or not. This situation, reminiscent of organized crime tactics, is not an oversight. The U.S. Supreme Court is quite aware that the only way that retailers and pornographers can really be sure they won't be prosecuted for selling obscene material is for them to avoid portraying activities that might be possibly interpreted as obscene anywhere. So meanwhile, the court seems smug and pleased with themselves, conservative politicians can trot out a pet cause when the polls are flagging, and the retailers and creators of the most widely recognized product in America, besides Coke and Barbie, sweat through every single business day, while the government never actually makes smut categorically illegal. Now, I want to talk to you, Nina, about your new movie, Nina Hartley's Guide to Erotic Bondage, because everybody knows that SM and sex is sexy, and it's all about sex. And so every time one of us consumers goes to the rental store and we pick out a DVD, you know, an SM DVD, and there's no sex in it, we're all really disappointed. And you knowing that SM, when it's done right, should make you want to fuck like bunnies, right?
Absolutely.
So essentially what you've done is you've put the two great tastes together.
It's something that Ernest and I have wanted to do for a long time. He obviously, for longer than me, since he's been into SM porn longer than I have. And it was really done beautifully, and we have to thank Adam and Eve for being nervy enough to do it. And it was a natural progression. I've talked about power exchange already in my series, from both directions and toward both genders. And this is the next natural step. And as well, it's been a natural evolution in my personal sexual journey, so it made it a perfect fit.
That's fantastic. Was it difficult for you to convince Adam and Eve to sort of take a chance with this project?
Actually, to their credit, no, it wasn't. I've proved myself over the last 10 years with the rest of my series, which is very well received, and they know my style. They know that nothing I've done so far has ever not passed the inspection by the sex therapist.
Right.
So I've proved myself with how I handle delicate material, and with Ernest and his experience, it's really been quite amazing. And I'm very, very pleased with it.
I bet. The fact that it's a labor of love really shows in that there's so much passion, and it looks so very romantic, and there's so much heat and chemistry between the players.
It?
It's almost.
You watched it. So, what did you think of my scene with me, Andy?
I've had a very long time crush on Randy. So
he's a dog.
Oh my goodness, he is so hot. He's such a hot daddy. It's just amazing.
Yeah,
and just watching you top him from stroking his cock with your stockinged toe all the way to just everything that you did with him was just amazing.
I always loved him to pieces, and he was so sweet to let me do that. We had such a good time. Because he's what I love about Randy and always have is how eagerly he accepts being teased. He loves leg tease. He loves it, loves it, loves it. And he's a man who enjoys being teased and really can just go there. And as a femdom, you know, it's all about seduction. It's not about being mean. And he takes it so well.
That's fantastic. And that's something that I think that you demonstrated really well, that it isn't about being mean. And I think a lot of people, especially in poorly made SM tapes, they misinterpret the fact that it's about teasing and about being erotic and, you know, almost giving the person what they want and then giving them a little bit more. And you really, really played it out nice and slow. And like I said, Randy Spears is just...
He's a great guy.
He's got great chemistry on screen, and he's one of the few adult performers that has it, you know, where you sort of just can't take your eyes off of him. And to see both of you doing a scene together, and it's just, there's so many smiles and so much, I mean, real, just genuine physiological heat between the two of you. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I love him. He's my, I just love him so much.
That's so fantastic. So what else are you working on besides this movie just came out?
The exciting thing I'm working on right now is my book.
Tell us all about your book.
So-called title, Nina Hartley's Guide to Total Sex. And it'll be out from Avery Press, hopefully, in about a year.
All right.
And it's... a springboard from my video series, which has done so well for me and for hopefully other people. And it's really exciting. It's half polemic, half tab A, slot B. And I'm really excited to see people's response to it when it comes out.
So is it an overall sex guide, would you say, or is it?
Yes, in the broad umbrella section. It's not an expose, it's not an autobiography, it's not... my life in porn. It's about what have I learned about sex and what do I believe about it. Put together with pictures from the series.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's going to be great. And that's saying a lot because I never like my own work.
Oh, really? Are you really?
Oh, I'm very critical of myself. You are. Of myself. And so when I say, you know what, this is going to be really good, I'm amazed, but I do believe it.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like you're speaking from the heart, definitely. So would you say that the book is more of like a mind-heart-body approach to sex ed?
Actually, no. That's for Annie Sprinkle and her fabulous, amazing book, Spectacular Sex.
Yes, that's a
good
book.
Which is recently out this year. Mine's more pragmatic. I really cut to the chase about sex and the body and man-woman relationships. And it's rather no-nonsense. There's going to be plenty for feminists to get mad about and plenty for the religious right to get mad about, which means I'm saying the right things.
Well, that means you're saying something good.
Personal responsibility for one's actions and intentions, and just don't allow people to be stupid about it. You know, I say I never have bad sex anymore, and it's no accident.
Nice. Do you think
and I'm sure you're that type of person too. You know, when's the last time you had a truly bad sexual experience?
It's been a while. They still happen every once in a while, but not that often.
Right, because you've done the work. You have learned how you best need to approach it, and you have put sex in the right place in your life. And you've sought out only the right and appropriate partners with which to share, and no longer do the stupid stuff. And well, what do you know?
Yeah.
Sex is a consistently positive experience, as I believe it was meant to be. So this book addresses that on both the cognitive as well as physical level.
That sounds awesome. What drew you to write a book about sex?
Well, first, it's the thing that makes me most passionate. If I was a violin player, I'd be a regular, you know, UD Menuhin. If I was, you know, an anthropologist, I'd be a regular Jane Goodall. But sex is what I'm into, and for 35 years I've been thinking about it, reading it, exploring it, examining it, talking about it, growing with it, I talk to people about sex, and they have said for the last 20 years, well, Nina, you should write a book. And it was a natural thing. I have the series, The Proven Commodity, and I really have learned a lot about sex, and it was time.
That sounds perfect.
So that's that's why it's this book and not any other book.
Yeah. Do you think that someday you'll ever write about your life and your life experiences?
Absolutely. Sure, sure. But I'm not even 50 yet. You know, let me hit 50 before I think about that.
Okay. I don't think you'll ever stop, so it's not a problem.
Right, exactly. I'll even have more to talk about. And by then, of course, I'll be a, knock on some wood here, a big enough cultural entity that such a book would actually sell. This book is going to sell because it's based on something that's proven. It's about a subject people are interested in.
Right.
And I think overall, taken as a whole, we'll have a whole new way of looking at it that will invigorate some people and infuriate others.
Now, who do you think you'll infuriate the most?
People who love to be really upset about the state of sex in the world. You know,
right.
Who want to become sensible about sex and to help. This book is for people who want to find a sexual equilibrium in their life and to find where in their life does sex fit and how they want to interact with it and how are they going to use it. And instead of it being a source of tension and fear and powerlessness and anxiety, I want sex to be like it is for you and me,
right.
Something that gives us happiness. And that we approach on our own terms.
That's fantastic.
And so this book aims to give people the tools to do that for those who want that journey.
Mm-hmm.
And other people, they like Carol Queen talks about them in her book, Real Life New Girl, the apsexuals.
Right.
You know, there are always going to be people of whatever political or religious stripe who love to be upset about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Love, love, love to be outraged and horrified and disgusted and scandalized about sex. And so those people will hate this book, but they already, those of them who know me, already hate me. So I'm just going to
sure.
be exposed to a greater number of people who will either love me or hate me.
No, it's great. I think that it adds to the democratization of sex ed, which is something that
we
really need.
I think so. Thanks for pointing that out.
No, it's true. There's no democratic dissemination of accurate sex information, especially in our country. And you putting this out there gives us more, you know?
Well, it joins a wonderful pantheon, going back to The Happy Hooker and The Joy of Sex, to Betty Dodson's books, to Carol Queen's books, and Annie Sprinkle's great new book. My friend LaSara Firefox's new book called
yeah.
Sexy Witch. Are you
yes.
familiar with that one?
It's a fabulous book.
Yes. So it's out there. You know, the toothpaste is out of the tube, and the good part of the 70s has been marching forward. The bad part of the 70s, the victim politics and the identity politics has reached a pathological level today. But the other politics of the wisdom of the body and the and to respect each other's experiences as women and men has also continued. And now mm-hmm. the sex-positive community, as you know, is huge and diverse.
Yes.
And
loud.
Spread all throughout the country.
Absolutely.
So the poor kid in Kansas may have to be, you know, stuck with ID in the classroom, but can still go online and find, goodvibes.com.
Yeah.
For example.
Exactly. Do you find that, and I know that you lecture at UCs and different teaching institutions, do you ever find that you run into these people who are hysterically hateful of sex when you're lecturing?
Not anymore. When I first started talking about this in university 20 years ago, plenty of women would stand up, at least one per lecture, and say, how can you do pornography and call yourself a feminist?
Wow.
I haven't heard that question in over 10 years.
Wow. How do you react to something like that? That's always such a personal challenge when someone says something like that to me.
Well, in the old days, I said that I grew up in feminism that said my body, my rules,
mm-hmm.
and that far from being some construct of male fantasy, I am an exhibitionist and bisexual person. So this, like, really worked for me.
Right.
And I made no apologies for it. Now I would be likely as a mature woman, and instead of being barely their peer, now at university I'm old enough to be their mother or their aunt, I would seek to address the emotions and assumptions behind the question.
Right.
And not take it at face value, because I've learned that for people who really are uncomfortable with porn, it's not about the words they throw at me, which can come from any part of the political spectrum,
mm-hmm.
but it's coming from the same emotional place, which is
absolutely.
Fear and ignorance.
Yep.
And so I just, as someone who's a nurse, and therefore, you know, someone who's been trained in the healing arts, I now have my own emotional maturity, my own stability, my own mental health, my own good relationship, to offer them compassion in their pain instead of getting all yippy with them.
Yep. That's so perfect. What do you talk about when you lecture? Because we've actually lectured for the same teachers, which I think is really funny.
I talk about where I've come from, and I try to keep that to under 10 minutes. And then I just open up to discussions and led by the students, because I go into feminist studies classes, I go to pornography classes, I go to creative writing classes, I go to, you know, all kinds of different venues. And so it's more important for me to respond as an elder and as an experienced person to their concerns.
Right.
I can talk about anything sexual for as long as you want me to, so let's just go where you want me to. It's better that way.
Right. So as much as you're a big famous porn star, you actually spend what sounds like most of your time educating people about sex.
That's why I became a porn star in the first place, to have a platform
really
from which to talk about sex and to make it no big deal that I talk about sex, because golly, what are porn stars about? They're about sex. Well, funny about that, I've always been about sex, and so this gives me the perfect cover. I would not get the respect I do talking about sex if I had a day job as a banker or an actual nurse. So I speak as someone who has been in the trenches, who has been doing sex work for 20 years, and as a trained health professional and a bred-to-the-bone feminist, and I have a different take on all this than the hysterical ranting of some of the more egregious stuff from the 70s,
right,
I'll say. You know, I went out and put it to the test, and I found that I fundamentally do not agree with the premise of a lot of the original material about pornography and sexuality, although I come from that world and share some other basic belief systems with them. So you know, taken my feminist education and gone somewhere else.
It's pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah, it is fascinating. But then along the way, but here you are. Here Carol Queen is. Here mm-hmm. Annie Sprinkle is. Here Candida Royale is. Here Pat Califia is. Mm-hmm. Here we all are. Susie Bright.
Oh, absolutely.
I forget her. Oh, my God. Gail Rubin. Love her. So I'm not the only one who saw through it all.
No, definitely not.
But I'm the one that did the mainstream media thing. As I've maintained for a long time, I'm, you know, in pornography, I'm a Trojan horse for queer culture. I look normal. I act like a porno bimbo. Ooh, let me pussy. Ooh, let me guide your dick into her asshole. Ooh, let me bring home hot girls for you. And so they it looked like I was, you know, capitulating to, you know, base male desire. And what they didn't know is that I was just, you mean I get to get paid to go play? Well, where do I sign up?
Okay, yeah.
You know, porn was a playpen for me, and I just, you know, I love it still. I love the freedom that it gives me to voice my real desire, which was, hey, you're pretty cute. You want to come over and check out my dungeon?
It's like a dream job.
It's a, for someone like me who's truly out there sexually, it is for me. And I like being of use to people for whom sexuality is not that big a part of their lives. They only get to access it, you know, once a week or so because their lives are so busy. And so I always liken myself to being like convenience food.
How's that?
You know, when you need a dose of the sex positive thing to jumpstart your engine so you can make love with your partner, mm-hmm. you bring out the Nina Hartley.
Yeah. Where
you bring out the canned soup and the frozen dinner and the, and the, you know, biscuits in a bag. And in the meantime, between the time that you use me, I'll keep perfecting the recipe.
Right.
And then when you utilize me again or access me again, I'll still be there, totally ready to talk to you about sex on your terms when you want it. In the meantime, put me back in the shelf. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm looking forward to the book for being that, because you can pick it up and put it down, and it needs no electricity. You need no computer.
Right.
It's a what's portable, the real thing. You know, the right. power of the printed word is not to be underestimated, as you know.
Absolutely. And people can bring their own personal experiences to it in a stronger way because they won't have visuals to associate with it.
Right. This will have some pictures, but nothing explicit.
Right.
And this is aimed at the big middle America. This is aimed at regular folks who are more conventional in their expression and their outlet, probably monogamous,
mm-hmm.
but not unloving and wanting to, you know, as I say, make their peace with sex so that it can be a positive part of their lives instead of an anxiety-producing part of their lives.
Right.
But you know, a lot of people out there who are very grateful to you for what you've been able to help them with.
Oh. Well, what I love about what you do is that you present all of this in such a nice context, but even though the people that you're talking to may not know what you're talking about, you never, ever talk to them like they're stupid or unsophisticated. You know,
I never thought of it that way.
No, it's very true. There are other people who make sex ed videos, and there are other people who write sex ed books, and I haven't read yours, but I know it's going to have the same tone and approach that you have in your videos, which is, you know, it's not that just because they don't know what a reverse cowgirl is doesn't mean that they're stupid. You know what I mean? It means,
right.
that, you know, because they're watching your video, you know that they're already interested in sex, and they're a little bit more sophisticated maybe than the person sitting next to them or not. So I love that you talk to people assuming that they're smart, whereas most people in our culture and in our media tend to regard people who are interested in sex as dumb or unrefined
as someone
to be made fun of. And you
know, sex is supposed to be a source of joy and happiness in our lives.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't always that way for me, but I believe the 70s feminism that said our bodies were strong and beautiful and wise, and if we can't throw off received notions about them as dirty or weak or deficient in any way and really, you know, accept ourselves as we are, that we could throw off the chains of our oppression. And then people like Betty and other women like her came along and said, and your sexual pleasure is a way that you can do this, i.e., learn to love your body and see it as strong and beautiful and not deficient or disgusting in any way. So that part of the 70s credo I ran with wholeheartedly. But the thing, the barnacle that got attached to it was it then got combined with this hatred of men and male sexuality, mm-hmm. and seeing male sexuality as dangerous and predatory and men as evil and disgusting creatures. And it never made sense to me.
No, I find that very heartbreaking.
I like men. I like penises. Thank you very much. Let me see some more. Ooh.
We love
men. The scene I'm shooting next week is I'm going to be doing for the first time four guys at once.
Really?
Nina Hartley's Guide to the Ultimate Sex Party.
Really? Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun.
Wow. And tell me more about that. That sounds really hot.
Well, I'm doing two. One is Nina Hartley's Guide to Erotic Massage, again with Randy. Poor me.
Envy.
Okay, fine. And then the other is the alpha and omega of sexual experiences, erotic massage, and then the ultimate sex party. And then second scene in the sex party tape is Evan Stone, bless him, and four ladies. And you must be familiar with Evan.
I'm sorry?
I'm sure you're familiar with Evan Stone.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's quite different from Randy, but just as fun in his own way, and he'll be so perfect for this.
Definitely, and he's a great performer, too.
He's fantastic. He's so perfect for porn. It's just funny. It's perfect.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So when are those videos going to be out?
Late spring.
Oh, next year.
April.
Okay.
Right now, we are a Guide to Erotic Bondage and Guide to G-Spot Sex is just out.
It just came out, right?
And the next in the pipeline, probably around January, are going to be female ejaculation and strap-on sex.
Oh, cool.
And then these will be after that. So that will probably be, I'm going to say, April?
Okay.
Ish.
So did you say strap-on sex?
Yes.
Is that all girl, or are there
no.
men involved? Really?
Goes both ways.
Oh, fantastic.
One scene, TJ Hart does this hunky bunky 6'5" gorgeous dude in the bow strap on, then he will returns the favor.
Awesome.
With his actual cock.
Oh, that's so awesome. You don't know how many people email me requesting videos, good videos, you know, that aren't mean-spirited, that have, you know, bend over boyfriend in them. And
yes.
They're just
well,
so hard
again,
to find.
This is aimed at that great middle, the big bulge of the bell curve. Mm-hmm. So I think it will thrill some people, and others for whom this is a deep, deep, important thing.
Absolutely.
Might want it to have gone further, but it's like, this is... The whole guide series is for the enthusiastic novice.
That's so
fantastic.
That
is who it's aimed at.
And it's great that you take all of these different sexual interests and you just completely normalize them by putting them all together.
Yes, that's the plan.
And
yes.
Most of the people that you use are real couples, or they're real...
As often as possible. I've used Voodoo, Nicole Sheridan and Voodoo a lot because I just love them.
They're so cute.
I've used Shayla Laveau and Anthony.
Nice.
They're a real-life couple. I've used Alec Knight and Mika Tan. They're a real life couple. They're darling, adorable.
Oh, but you've just used oodles of couples though over the years.
I as often as possible. I just like the energy that comes with it. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. And the guy is 6'5", and he's just gorgeous. And it's TJ Hart, and she wears these beautiful fetish shoes and these stockings that they've mile long legs, and she's just gorgeous.
Oh, that sounds so great.
Yeah,
well,
but
I'm
the
really
end of 69
looking...
is particularly impressive.
I bet. Well, I'm really looking forward to this.
And then the gang movie is going to be a lot. It's not a gang. Ultimate party movie is going to be a lot of fun.
Is it just a party, like a sex party, or do
yes,
you actually tell people how to have
one
a sex
woman,
party?
You know, have the fantasy of her dreams, and make it real.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, okay, so these wonderful tapes that I'm really excited about now are all coming out next year, but the Nina Hartley's Guide to Erotic Bondage is out now. And where can people find that if they want to pick it up?
They can go to adameve.com.
Okay.
And get it there, and then any of the better, their local video store will order for them as well.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
Adam and Eve.
Our time is up, but I really, really want to thank you, Nina, for taking time out to talk to me on the phone tonight, and also for arranging the super hot gallery for all of our video files out there from the movie.
Well, and thank you so much. Hello to everybody out there, and keep listening, because Violet Blue's got it going on.
Thank you, Nina.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. Don't forget to visit Nina.com for Nina's excellent blog, which is free and totally fun to follow along with the crazy circus that is her life. And I absolutely insist that you pick up a copy of Nina Hartley's Guide to Erotic Bondage at adameve.com. And again, thanks for listening to Open Source Sex.